The Greek mythic tale of fire is about brutality, torture, injustice, and the divide between divinities and mortal mankind. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 143, Fire, Destruction, Warmth, and Light. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It is one of the most famous of pagan myths. Prometheus instructs humanity as to a method of deceiving Zeus in the bringing of sacrifices. And Zeus, discovering the ruse, punishes human beings by taking fire away from them. Prometheus then ascends to Mount Olympus, hides fire within a reed, and gives it back to humanity. Or, as Hesiod put it, "So spake Zeus in anger, whose wisdom is everlasting, and from that time he was always mindful of the trick and would not give the power of unwearying fire to the Melian race of mortal men who live on the earth. But the noble son of Iapetus," that's Prometheus, "outwitted him and stole the far-seen gleam of unwearying fire in a hollow fennel stalk." So Hesiod writes, and we know, in turn, what, according to this myth, happened next. Zeus punishes Prometheus, chaining him to a rock, and ensures that his innards are eaten out by a bird day after day. Jewish tradition, of course, tells a very different tale about fire and its origins. And in order to fully appreciate this, we must consider the appearance of fire in Jewish texts, in all of the subject's complexity. And this in turn brings us to our mitzvah for the day, which is the obligation of the court to judge one who causes damage either irresponsibly or deliberately and culpably through the kindling of a fire. This is Exodus 22, verse 6. "If fire breaks out and catches thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution." This, of course, is one of many laws relating to torts in the Torah. We discussed the one who wounds yesterday. Soon we will see the cases of one who creates a pit or other publicly damaging danger. Here the mitzvah is quite clear. One who causes damage through fire must be held liable for restitution to any property that was burned. In the Talmud, of course, nothing is ever purely simple, and thus the rabbis engage in a discussion as to the larger philosophical principle regarding fire and the restitution that must result from it. Is a kindled fire considered a weapon? Or perhaps, the rabbis suggest, fire is more akin to one's property that one has not properly watched over, resulting in that property, the fire itself, causing damage. The very discussion and debate highlights two aspects of fire itself. Fire can be considered a weapon because it is a destructive and dangerous force. But fire is also unlike a weapon in that the latter is created solely and significantly for the wreaking of harm, whereas, of course, fire has many positive properties. And indeed, whereas pagan myth described fire as being stolen from the brutal and uncaring gods, Jewish tradition speaks of fire as a gift of the good and loving God. According to the Midrash and the Talmud, the gift of fire was bestowed immediately after the first Sabbath of creation in order to sustain Adam and Eve after their expulsion from paradise. Indeed, they were not only given fire, but taught how to make it. The Greek mythic tale of fire is about brutality, torture, injustice, and the divide between divinities and mortal mankind. The story told by Jewish tradition, in contrast, commemorated every Motzei Shabbat, every Saturday night, with the kindling of the flame during the ritual of Havdalah. For the ritual of Havdalah is a reminder of God's grace, of his benevolence, of his concern for human beings. Indeed, we know from Jewish history fire's destructive properties, and we have seen fire wielded in the evils of the auto da fe and in so many other moments. But the fact remains that for us, flame is also the instrument through which we usher in sacred time and through which we bid farewell to it. It has been, for Judaism and Jewish history, a source of sustaining celebration and of the way in which we filled our homes with warmth and with light, be it on a Sabbath or a festival or in the beacons created within or without on Chanukah. Thus, as we ponder the mitzvah pertaining to the destructive nature of fire, we also consider the way in which its positive properties have been channeled from the very beginnings of Jewish history. It was my grandfather, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, who noted the fire, the flame, through which God himself spoke to Moses and set him upon his mission of mercy, his calling of redemption. God spoke from a bush, a flame, but the bush was not consumed. My grandfather, citing the medieval sage Rabbeinu Bachya, noted that of the three properties of fire, warmth, light, and destruction, the fire from which God spoke, which was the fire atop Mount Sinai, only claimed the first two. We too are called to be akin to the fire of God, to radiate warmth and light in our own fire of faith, to make it known to the world as a beacon of hope and inspiration. This is the hope embodied in the story of God's gift of fire. This is expressed in the beautiful blessing Saturday night of Blessed Are You, God, who creates the light of the flame. These are the teachings of a Judaism that demands justice when damage is done, and a Judaism which taught a once entirely pagan world of what it truly means to be recipients in warmth, light, and love of God's gift. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.